teen activity. And so I told the teens that we're going to put it on them, and that they were supposed to pray all week for no rain on next Saturday. So we'll see how good their prayer life is. Amen. But we'll put it on them. So we'll try her again next week. And anyway, appreciate you being back tonight. And we'll kind of do what we did last week. We did, some terms of the second coming. And we saw a good many of the New Testament verses, and just kind of read through them. And tonight we're going to look at two. I guess we would call them, if you're into court cases and law, TV, and all that kind of stuff. You've heard the word precedent, and this precedent was set, and they'll say a last name versus a last name, and so they put that in the law because it had taken place. So instead of going back and re-arguing that, if the judge said okay on that precedent, they would say, okay, we're going to go on forward because that precedent has already been set. Or we might use another word, perspective. Perspective, and I'll give you the definition of it, is a mental view, and so that leaves a lot of us out, right? A perspective is a mental view. The capacity to view things in a true relation or relative importance. So in other words, we've seen this happen before. And so based on the knowledge that we gathered from seeing it before, now we're able to make this decision because of this. And so we're looking at precedent and perspective of the second coming. And then we'll look at the Old Testament verses. So again, just like last week, it won't really be a sermon. It'll just be some facts and some, obviously, precedent and things like that. And then Old Testament verses. And like I told you last week, I won't be able to help myself. I will have to make a few comments here and there on those verses. But again, just like last week, I think we got out of maybe 5 minutes early last week. I was hoping to have us out a little bit earlier than that because of the ice cream fellowship. And but we'll see tonight. So we're looking at tonight, again, precedent of the second coming and some Old Testament verses. So let's review real quickly. Last week we looked at some terms. And, of course, we looked at the word rapture. And Brother Derek led us in a song tonight that talked about that, the rapture, O Divine. And so we looked at that. And that's basically a calling out or a catching up or a brought up. Of going up to meet with the Lord. We looked at tribulation, and that was that 7 years of tribulation. We looked at the millennial reign, and that's the 1,000 years of Jesus ruling and reigning down here on the earth. And we saw the day of the Lord is a statement that we saw over and over and over in the New Testament verses. Tonight we'll look at the Old Testament verses, and it'll be in His day, I believe how it says it through a lot of these verses. But we looked at that. We looked at the kingdom of God. And of course, He had said those words when He was down here, when He lived down here on the earth. And a lot of His disciples thought maybe He was going to set it up right then. And let's get this thing done. Let's go ahead and you take out these kings and you set up your kingdom and you rule and reign now. But that, obviously, we're going to see tonight, that wasn't the timing that God wanted to do. So we saw kingdom of God. We'll see second coming. We use words like eschatology. And, of course, that's just the study of the end times. And last week we looked at a word called hermeneutics. And that's basically the study of content, who that's written to and how it's written, what it means and things like that, the study of content. And so now we're going to look at these two precedents that God set, and they're in the Bible, or some perspective that we can look at. And so the only thing that we see in the end times, obviously there's destruction. We'll read several of these verses tonight about how God, takes out armies. And, again, not to be gross and gory, but the Bible says that the blood will be up to the horse's bridles. Okay, so that'll be how deep the blood runs when He comes and sets up and takes out and sets up His kingdom and things like that. And so, it was prophesied, we'll see it tonight in the Old Testament. It was prophesied in the New Testament. And, of course, we're supposed to get people saved. And so they won't be destroyed. They will live forever and things like that. And so, obviously, God doesn't want this to happen to anybody. It's not His will that any should perish. But this is just how He has set it up in the Bible. We're going to look at two places that we see that God says, okay, that's it. I'm going to destroy this place. And of course, we're going to look at one, Sodom and Gomorrah. And we talked about that this morning, about Abraham saying, will you not destroy it if we can find 50 righteous? And obviously it went all the way down to 10. And they couldn't even find 10. How sad of a commentary. And so God did destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Wipe the ground with it, just like it's going to be when this world is taken out and the new heaven and the new earth will be obviously built. But what did He do? He sent angel of the Lord. He sent people to get righteous Lot out of there before He destroyed it. So precedent was set. God had decided, I'm going to take out Sodom and Gomorrah, but there's one of my child, even though he's backslidden, and even though he, we saw the comparison this morning, or alluded to it, about how Abraham ruled his family and did the right thing in his household, and Lot did not, and so forth. But he was saved. He was righteous Lot. But before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, He said, look, we got to get Lot out of there. So that's one precedent that's been set where God would say, okay, if I'm going to do that to this earth, I got to get the righteous out of there. Here's another one that we see in the Bible where the whole earth and every living thing except what was in that ark was destroyed. And so, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he's like, okay, and I'm going to let anybody that comes, you preach and build, Noah. And he preached and built the ark and so forth. But before God's judgment was rained down on this earth, He got Noah and his family in the ark, and obviously two of every kind, and kept them above the flood. And so we see that this is a precedent where the Lord would say, look, before I destroy this earth, I'm going to get my righteous out of there. They may be backslidden as the day is long like Lot, but still they're saved. Or they might find grace in the eyes of the Lord, just like Noah did. And he's like, look, I gotta get them up before I take them out. So that's some precedent that has been set. And so before we start in the New Testament verses, or the Old Testament verses, we'll remember some of the ones of the New Testament. We won't go back and read them all. But we saw one New Testament verse said that we will see Him when He steps out on that cloud. Obviously, we might hear that trump. We'll hear the shout. But the Bible says, we will see Him. And of course, Lot saw the people there on the outside of his house and trying to get his family to come with him. Of course, Noah saw the help of the Lord and getting him out of the flood and so forth. So we will see Him. But then the Bible says that we'll be in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be taken up. And then we will be like Him. So not only will we see Him, then we'll be like Him. We'll get our glorified body. And then another verse we read, it said that we will come with Him. And then we saw one verse where it said we followed Him. And then we saw another verse where it says that we would reign with Him. So now we're going to look at the Old Testament. And if you want to follow along and you're a fast flipper, you can. Or if you just want to write these down and read them for yourself. Or I even got a better plan for you. You can listen to it at home again and pause it and read that verse and then let me tell you another verse there on our Facebook page or our YouTube channel. But in Numbers 24, we're going to read two verses there. Numbers 24, where we're basically laying the foundation, I guess, if you want to say it that way, of the prophecy in the Old Testament of the second coming. Several of these passages that we're going to read, it's going to talk about His first coming. Like, for instance, I can remember when I was studying that there was one part of the verse where it talked about, out of Jacob there came a star. All right? And that star that they saw out there when they were watching their sheep by night. And all of a sudden, boom, that star was right there. Then later on in that verse, it talks about another thing that He does that He didn't do while He was on the earth the first time. It shows what He's going to do the second time. And so in a couple of those verses, He's talking about His first coming and His second coming. We're going to see that tonight. But if you found Numbers, if not, I'll just start reading. Numbers 24, verses 17 through 19. We see here that Balaam had hired Balak to curse Israel But rather he said, and I'll read the rest of the verse, it says here, I shall see him, but not now. Okay, so we're talking about Jesus' second coming. I'm going to see him, but not now. And it says here, I shall behold him, but not nigh. Just like we say, we're going to see Jesus one day, but not right now. and there's John had said it, even so come quickly, Lord. It's kind of like for the kids, a test that they're going to have on Friday that they haven't studied for yet. They wake up on Friday, even so come quickly, Lord. Or maybe they've misbehaved and mommy and daddy says, when we get home, we're going to the room and we're going to have some corrective measures. So the rest of the way home, even so come quickly, Lord. Or maybe a bill that we have due that we don't have money for. But John obviously said that. But we see here that in Numbers, he's like, look, I'm going to see him, but not now. I'm going to see him, but it's not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob. And here it is. This is the one I was talking about. A star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And so two different things here. There's going to be a star that says, hey, follow the wise men, follow this star. And it'll lead you to Jesus. And then out of that same prophecy here, then there's going to be a king. Obviously, he was the king. He is the king. But he has not set up his kingdom yet. And so this is two different times. And it says here, out of Jacob, there's going to be a star. And out of Jacob, there's going to be a scepter rise in Israel. And shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. And Edom shall be possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies. And Israel shall do violently. And so we know, obviously, Israel's not on top right now. Israel's not set up. He's not there, of course. And it says, out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion. And of course, he didn't have dominion his first time. He came not even having a place to lay his head. He came to die and bleed and pay for our sins. He didn't come to set up dominion. He could have. The Bible even says he could have called 10,000 angels and told them where to get off. And said, look, let's just bypass all this and set it up now. He could have done that, but he didn't. But it says here, that so out of Jacob that star came, and out of Jacob shall come, and he shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And so, of course, that tribulation, that battle of Armageddon, boom. This is prophecy of the Old Testament that would take place. So we see the star was at his talking about his first coming, and the scepter and the destruction and the dominion is talking about his second coming. So that's one place. Isaiah 2:4. Isaiah 2:4 is another place, and I'll try to go slow enough for you to get there because we're walking, I think, in not chronological order but in Bible order here. So Isaiah 2:4. And it says, and he shall judge. So again, we know that the judgment seat of Christ hadn't happened. The great white throne judgment hadn't happened. And he hadn't come back and judged on the earth yet. But in the Old Testament says, Isaiah said, he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. So when he comes back and all this is set up and we're ruling and reigning with him during that millennial, it'll be a time of peace, not of war. And so these swords that they had, now it's a time of peace, so I don't need to jug anybody. And so they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up the sword against nation, neither shall there learn of war any more. So here in the Old Testament, talking about that time of peace. But of course, in our day and time, the Bible says we're going to hear there's going to be wars. There's going to be even rumors of wars. Time's going to get worse and worse and worse. But when he comes and sets up that kingdom after the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, and the millennial, it says here that they won't need those warring tools anymore. They'll need gardening tools because it'll be a time of peace. And they'll learn of war no more. So he spoke the time of peace in the millennial reign. Psalm 72. Psalm 72. We'll read verses 4 through 8. Psalm 72. Okay, so Psalm 72, again, Old Testament prophecy. Starts out, he shall judge. Verse 4. Psalm 72:4, he shall judge. And so right now, when he came the first time, he wasn't judging. He was preaching the gospel. He was dying on the cross. He was conquering death, hell, and the grave. He was resurrecting. He was commissioning, and he was ascending. He was doing all that stuff. He wasn't judging yet. When he comes back this time, obviously, there will be that time of judging. So he shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and he shall break in pieces the oppressor. So again, he's going to take care of all the ones that need to be taken care of, and so forth. And then the next verse 5 says this: they shall fear as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. And the next verse it says here, and he shall come down. So here it is in the Old Testament. Obviously, he came down from heaven and was born of a virgin, things like that. But during this, ruling and reigning and judging, he's going to come down. This is talking about a second coming, like rain upon the mown grass and the showers that water the earth. And here it is, in his day. So just like we saw the New Testament said a lot of times, the day of the Lord, talking about his second coming, the Old Testament uses this, in his day, when it's his day. He came down, yeah, it was his day, and yes, he was the Son of God, and yes, he did perform miracles and things like that. But he was, again, a servant, having no place to lay his head, and so forth. But in his day, when he is going to be supreme, he should have been back then, yes, but he came to his own received him not. But in his day, he shall righteousness flourish. So again, in our day and time, I wished that the Bible would have free reign, God would have free reign, everybody would be saved, everybody would be right with God, everybody would not do wickedness. I wish that would happen, but that's not the day. But in His day, when He sets up and we get to rule and reign with Him, righteous will flourish. And it says here, in an abundance of peace. I mean, right now we have peace, hopefully here in church. Maybe you'll have peace tonight when you're at your house, inside your home, and going to bed with your family, things like that. But there's some places in this world there isn't peace. I mean, riots and protests and murders and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And there's just not an abundance of peace. But there will be in this day. So long as the moon endureth. And here is another. And he shall have dominion. So he didn't have dominion his first time, but he will a second time. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from river unto the end of the earth. So none of this stuff took place the first time he came. He was beaten and you know, threatened and all this kind of stuff. But he's going to have dominion in his second time. So obviously, this didn't take place in his first coming, but it will in his second. So now we're in Psalm 2. I guess we'd have to go backwards a little bit. Psalm 2. We're going to read verses 6 and 7 and verses 10 through 12. But Psalm 2, talking about His second coming. Psalm 2, verses 6 and 7 says, "Yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion." And so, again, he was the king back then. But he didn't have that position. He could have. But he didn't. He chose not to set it up when he was here that time. He was here taking care of all mankind's sin. But at this time, he says, my king will have set on the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And so this is why, at this time, this is why you're here. First time he came, he was here to die. And to pay, and to take our sins upon Him. But at this time, His second coming, God says, look, I'm going to set you up on the hill there. In verse 10 through 12, it says here, "Be not wise, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth." So those of you that are ruling and reigning and not doing that which is right in God's eyes and things like that, you should get right. Get better and be what God wants you to be. And it says here, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled. But a little And it says there, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. And so, there'll be time, just like there was time with Lot. If we can find 50, we'll get them out of here. 45, 30. In Noah's day, hey, y'all can get on. God says He's gonna rain and it's gonna flood, but He said He's gonna shut that door too. But anybody that wants to get in there, come on, and you'll be saved. So same thing. There'll be time where people can be saved, even in certain times while He's down here on His second coming, and so forth. Psalm 24, 7 through 10. Psalm 24, 7 through 10, talking about His second coming. It says here, lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And here it is, and the King of glory shall come in. So this time, He won't be coming as a servant. He won't be coming as the payment for our sins. He will be the King of glory, and He shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. And so, of course, we know that there's going to be a battle. It's called the Battle of Armageddon, and He's going to be strong and mighty. So He didn't come and battle the first time. He came and gave His life. Second time, He's coming, and they're going to know what. It says here, let the rest of it, lift up your hands, O ye gates. Even lift them up to everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, and it says, Selah. In other words, think about it. Of course, again, we've been thinking about it as we've been going through here. That His first coming, He came as a servant, laid down His life, paid for our sins, and took care of all that. This time, think about it, He's coming, and the battle, and the millennial, and the creating the new heaven and new earth, and forever continuing. So mighty in battle, victorious in battle. Obviously, there'll be battles at the end. Psalm 96, 10 through 13. Psalm 96, 10 through 13. Psalm 96, 10 through 13. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth the world. Also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. And of course, so He comes and He sets up and He's ruling and reigning and He will judge the people righteously. And of course, the Bible indicates that if we've been faithful in little, then He's going to give us more responsibility and so forth. And He will set up His kingdom and His ruling and reigning, and He will judge the people righteously. The next verse says, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in its fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful. And all therein then shall all the trees and the wood rejoice. But the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth, and shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with His truth. And of course, He says that, you know, His eyes are going to be like fire, His feet like brass, and this book right here, His words, would be what will judge those people righteously. Have you lined up with it as far as your salvation? Have you lined up with it as far as your life and your service to Him? And so forth. He's going to set it up. And it says here, and Jesus did not judge the earth the first coming. He came to lay down His life, but He will His second. Psalm 110, 5 and 6. Psalm 110, a couple pages over. Psalm 110, verse 5 and 6. Looking at Old Testament prophecy of the Lord's second coming. Psalm 110, verse 5 and 6 says here, the Lord, thy right hand, shall strike through kings. So He's just coming down. And just like He can speak humans into existence, He created Adam and Eve out of the dust of the ground. Then He breathed into their nostril the breath of life. The Bible says His speaking. And we're going to see here in just a minute, I believe in this same verse, that even His breath. And I know some of our breaths are pretty rough. You know, like a person, they might hit here, you need a breath mint. But obviously His voice and His breath will take people out
that needs to deserve it. His right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath, and he shall judge among the heathen, and he shall fill the places with dead bodies. So here it is, just like we mentioned the one verse about the blood, rivers of blood. And he shall wound the heads over many countries. And so again, right now, a lot of people in our day and time, a lot of people exist in their minds without God. He doesn't exist. They're atheists. Or they have another God that they pray to, things like that. And they think they're just dandy. And they say, look, I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to believe this, and so on and so forth. But we see that, you know, it's our responsibility. It's missionaries' responsibility. It's others' responsibility to get to, you know, the gospel out to all these nations. But one day, God's going to say, look, that's it. And His right hand, His voice, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, I'll start reading as you flip, if you're still flipping. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 says here, for unto us a child is born. So again, we're talking about the first time. Unto us a son is given. So that was the first time. Then it says, the government shall be upon his shoulders. Now I know the Bible teaches that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he can direct it whithersoever he goeth and things like that. I do know that Jesus is king. And he is more powerful than any king on this earth, things like that. But we can look at our government. Woo! It might, you know, it's not on his shoulders right now. It's not trying to do what God wants. Our government has taken Bible and prayer out of schools. Our government has taken the Ten Commandments out of buildings, things like that. So praise the Lord, some of that stuff's being fought and put back and things like that. But right now, the government is not on his shoulders. But it will be one day. And his name shall be called Wonderful. It's a curse word a lot of times in our day and time. But we know it's wonderful. But at this time, when he sets it up, it's going to be wonderful. And Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So here the child was born, and the son was given the first time. But next time... verse 7 says here, and of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end. So it's going to be peace from now on. And it says here, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish with judgment and with justice room or from henceforth ever, even forever. And so obviously that didn't take place the first time, but it will the next time. And then it'll be forever. Isaiah 11:4. I'm sorry, I forgot the rest of that last verse. Says here, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It will happen. That's a prophetic there in that psalm. Isaiah 11:4. Isaiah 11:4 says here, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, there it is, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. So just as powerful as he was when he created Adam, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and took a rib from him and made Eve and breathed into her nostrils the breath of life. And obviously we have him bringing Lazarus back from the dead. And we have other young people that he raised from the dead and so forth. We see he's powerful. But in this time, the righteous judge will be there. And just with his mouth, just with his breath. Jeremiah 23:5-6. Jeremiah 23:5-6. It says here, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign. So obviously we know he's out of the lineage of David. But I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And again, just like we hear how nasty hell is, it's dark, you can't see. It's hot, It's burning with flames. The worm dieth not. It's going to be chewing on you. You're going to hear wailing, and then you're going to have gnashing of teeth and gnawing of tongue and things like that. And you're like, how horrible. Well, just get saved and you don't have to worry about it. Same thing here. These people, this is just horrible. He's going to speak and kill, and blood's going to be in the river or the streets, and there's going to be bodies everywhere, things like that. Again, just be saved and trust Jesus, and it won't have to happen. It says here, but he's going to reign and prosper, and he's going to execute judgment and justice on the earth. In his day, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. So again, we know neither one of those places are that's happening in right now. But when he comes back, it will. And this is his name, where he shall be called Lord of Righteousness. So obviously we know that was prophetically speaking of when Jesus came, because even historically there wasn't a righteous king in Judah and so forth. But there will be when he's there. A couple more and we'll wrap it up. Daniel 7 verses 13 and 14 is prophesying about his second coming. Daniel 7, 13 and 14. All right, Daniel 7, 13 and 14, it says here, and I saw in the night visions. All right, maybe you took some Zequel or NyQuil and you saw some night visions, or maybe you took some Tavis D or something like that, and you saw some night visions. This is not medically induced, okay? I saw in the night visions, and beheld one like the Son of Man. It says there, come with the clouds of heaven. Where's he coming from? In the clouds. He didn't come this way the first time. He came born of a virgin the first time, and he had to follow the star to find him. This one's prophesying that he's going to come with the clouds of heaven and came to Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And thee was given him, here it is, dominion. That's what he's going to have the next time he comes. And glory, and a kingdom. And all the people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. So we see that Daniel was prophesying about his second coming, when nothing was going to be set up, dominion, kingdoms, and nothing will ever destroy it. It'll be everlasting. Let's see here. Zechariah 14. I think this is the last one that we'll read, and then I have some conclusional statements. But Zechariah 14, again, Old Testament, but talking about his second coming. Zechariah 14, verses 3 through 4, 3 and 4. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as which he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Some prophetical things come into place here. Which is before Jerusalem, on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst, and says here, thereof towards the east and towards the west. So in context, obviously, we see here that he will be fighting that in that day of battle, the Battle of Armageddon. And again, he will be setting up his kingdom, and there will not be another king to fight against him. They'll all be destroyed, and he will set up his kingdom. And so in context here, the day of the Lord and the Battle of Armageddon, this did not take place in his first coming. We know that, but it will in his second coming. So the time foretold at the end of this tribulation and at the end of the Battle of Armageddon says here, Jesus will establish his kingdom, and he'll have that millennial, thousand-year reign, and we will serve with him. And where will it take place? He'll be standing on the Mount of Olives, just like the Bible said, there in his hometown there, his home country. And it says here, the collective truth of the Old and New Testament prophecies that we've read the last 2 weeks. Again, this is going to be him establishing a literal kingdom on earth. Not figuratively. Not, oh, yeah, it'll just all work out. There'll be peace. No, it's literal. And he will do this. And it says here, no amount of subject or allegorizing that we talked about a little bit last week can alter that fact. Again, we don't know every detail, but we have read last week tons of New Testament verses that say he's coming back. He's going to set up his kingdom. And here now we've read several Old Testament verses talking about kingdom, established, judgment, all that kind of stuff. And so, we can't explain that away. And so never, like I said last week, some people say, this is what I think. Some books say, this is what the author thought. I say, let's just believe what this one says. It's got a whole lot better author. It's got a whole lot better promises. It's got a lot of things. So don't let, I don't even want to let my own thoughts supersede that. Definitely not going to let somebody else's thoughts supersede that. And again, I'm all for studying, reading, but I'm not going to let any book supersede this. And so, we see here what the Bible says stands. Amen. And that's why, obviously, we need to make sure it's not one that's had stuff taken out of it. It's not one that's had stuff put into it. Let's God's Word. And I'm going to stand on what it says. And so, that was, we saw last week, terms, and we saw New Testament verses. This week, we've seen two precedents in the Bible. God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, let's get the righteous out of there. I'm going to destroy the earth. I'm up to here, or even up to here with mankind. I'm going to destroy it with a flood. Oh, there's Noah. He found grace in my eyes. Let's get him and his family out of there. Anybody else that wants to come, they are welcome. So we see here now the third time he's going to destroy this earth by fire. Not water this time, by fire. He might say, hey, let's get my kids up here and let them be like me, come back, rule and reign with me. So, again, just like last night, we'll just have a word of prayer and forego the invitation and we'll be dismissed. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, we thank you for the Bible and its facts. And obviously, we've seen not just one book of the Old Testament, but several. Not just one prophet in the Old Testament, but several that you used to write it down, talking about your kingdom and you setting it up and where and obviously what was going to take place. And so, Lord, I just like everything, Lord, help us just to put it in your hands and trust you. And again, when that time comes, it'll be great. But until that time comes, the Bible says we're supposed to be busy, busy studying, busy reading, busy soul winning, busy growing, busy doing our job for such a time as this. And Lord, if we slack off, it's not going to make the second coming come any faster. I don't know if we just burn the fields up and do what we're supposed to, it's not going to make the second coming come any faster. You're going to come when you want to come. And so, Lord, I just ask you to just have your will and way. Help us to stay focused on the things that we're supposed to do here and in our time. In Jesus' name, amen.